So this morning, I invite you to turn again in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 5 this time, beginning with verse 14 today. Nehemiah chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew, and you can turn in that to page 498. Page 498. And there you will find Nehemiah 5. We're going to read 14 to 19 of Nehemiah chapter 5. So Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, the word of God says, "Moreover, from the day that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, for 12 years, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance, but the former governors who were before me, laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants domineered the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also applied myself to the work on this wall. We did not buy any land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now that which was prepared for each day was one ox and six choice sheep. Also birds were prepared for me. And once in 10 days, all sorts of wine were furnished in abundance. Yet for all of this, I did not demand the governor's food allowance because the servitude was heavy on this people. Remember me, O my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." Amen. When we first moved to Boise, Idaho, the mayor was a guy named Dirk Kempthorne. And I discovered that Dirk Kempthorne actually grew up in San Bernardino, California, where I was from, and actually attended the same high school that I did a few years ahead, and that he was very good friends with my sister in high school. Not surprisingly, he was also the student body president. So when Janelle and I moved here to Idaho, we decided we need to go meet him. So we went down to the mayor's office, and he was very gracious, and we got the chance to say hello to him, to talk about high school days, to talk about growing up in San Bernardino, and to say hi from my sister. Now, Dirk would go on to be the governor of our great state. He would go on to be a senator from Idaho. And then a couple of years after that, I met him again, only this time it was not in some nicely appointed office with lots of staff around him. I actually met him again in a hospital waiting room. A young teenager had been struck by lightning on a ball field. There was a terrible storm, a driving rain, and this young man had connections with our church, and so I got a call late at night to come down, if I would, and pray with this young man and his family. And so I'm in the waiting room waiting to see him. It's about midnight, and in walks Mayor Kempthorne. He had only one aide with him. He's drenched by the storm. There's no media. There's no entourage. There's no cameras. Basically just himself. You see, he had been listening to the police scanner in the terrible storm, and he heard about what happened to this young man. And he simply wanted to come to a family in crisis. He simply wanted to come and offer any help that he could. Now, that incident happened a long time ago, but it really made me appreciate him as a leader. To care about one of his citizens that way, he was, in that moment, to me, what I call a servant leader. Somebody who had a lot of status in our city and yet came to serve someone else. Again, a servant leader. That's always stuck with me. Servant leadership is what I want to talk to you about today as we continue our series in Nehemiah. We're calling it A Journey Back for a Journey Forward. As we go back and study God's Word in the Old Testament, it gives us great teaching for how we live our lives in journeying today as Christians. And we've said that the theme of Nehemiah is renewal, rebuilding, and restoration of ancient walls of Jerusalem. But we also said that the theme of this book is the renewal and the restoration of the Jewish people with God and with one another. But if I could add a little sub-theme to the book of Nehemiah, it would be, what does it mean to be a servant leader? What does a servant leader look like? And Nehemiah is a great example for us to learn from the ways of a servant leader. He really models for us what a servant leader looks like. Understand this morning that the idea of being a servant leader, though, is something that doesn't just apply to people actually in formal leadership positions. Because I think all of us, in some way, to some extent, are leaders, okay? Think of the definition of leadership as this. Leadership is influence, isn't it? Leadership is really influence. And so all of us gathered here today, all of us have degrees of influence. You may not have the title, the position, or the status of being called leader. You may not be the boss, the ministry leader, the one in charge, but there are many other positions when we are actually influencing others as leaders. If you're a parent, a grandparent, you are a leader. If you are the older sibling, you really are the leader to those younger siblings. If you are a peer that people look up to, you are their leader. We all, in more ways than we think, are influencing others as leaders in life. So every one of us today can learn lessons about the ways of a servant leader, again, through the example of Nehemiah. Now, remember last week we left off with Nehemiah confronting leaders who were exploiting the people. They were taking advantage of the Jewish people. Verses 1 to 13, they're exploiting their own people. But now we come by way of contrast to what a leader should be in Nehemiah, a contrast that points out his example as a servant leader. Verse 14 begins with the word moreover, which can be seen as a contrast in the narrative of Nehemiah. Again, he goes on to show what a servant leader looks like. So I want to look this morning at the ways of a servant leader, the ways of a servant leader. Let's begin with verse 14. The first way of a servant leader is a servant leader pushes past position, power, and privilege. A servant leader pushes past position, power, and privilege. I believe as Nehemiah writes here, he's actually writing later on in his life. He's actually reviewing his life up until that point. He's looking back, and he says in verse 14, I was appointed to be their governor from the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, where he had been in exile, to his 32nd year. So he's saying, for 12 years, I was the governor here in Jerusalem area. He looks back to that position. Now, early on in that position, his work began with the walls. But why is this significant to point out that he just now mentions this? Because he's not mentioned it before. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, most of chapter 5, he has not told us that he was actually in the position of being governor. He does not use the status, the rank, and position that he had. When he called the people to go to the work in chapter 2, he does not do so on the basis of being their governor. He doesn't order them to do it. He doesn't say, look, guys, I'm the leader, and what I says go, and when I say jump, you say how high on the way up. He doesn't pull rank later on in chapter 5 when he confronts the rulers who are exploiting the people. He could have come down on them with all of his power and privilege and prestige and says, no, stop it. But instead, two times in that text between verses 1 to 13, he asks them, please change. He does not appeal to his power and his position. Because servant leaders don't promote their position, their power, or their prestige. Someone called those who would do so parade leaders. Parade leaders are those who like to be out in front of the parade, and everybody notices them. It's not that he didn't have the authority, the title, and the responsibility, but he did not go around calling attention to it. In fact, listen to this, if you have to go around and tell people that you're in charge, you're already in trouble. If you have to go around and say, don't forget, I'm the boss, I'm the one in charge, I have the authority, I sign your paycheck, you're already in trouble as a leader. And you're certainly not being a servant leader. Some years ago, I had a boss who always said to me regarding being a leader, he said, Greg, when you think you is, you ain't. Just terrible English, but a really good lesson if you're thinking about being a leader. You don't flaunt it. You don't get a big head. You don't claim the power, the prestige, and the position. Servant leaders don't do that. They push past those things. The second way we see a servant leader behaving is they put people or others first. They put people or others first. In verses 14 and 15, Nehemiah says, I did not exploit the people. Verse 15, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance. Now, apparently, because he was a governor under the Persian king, he did have a stipend of some sort. He did have an expense account. But there's more going on here in verse 15. He contrasts his life with the governors that went before. Notice he says in verse 15, the former governors, they laid burdens on the people. The word means to make heavy, okay? It's also used in verse 18. He says, I did not demand the governor's food allowance because the servitude of the people was heavy. Same word as lay burdens on them. So they were being burdened down by taking care of the governor. And what's going on here is this. The governor was given not only an allowance, but permission to take from the people to supply his table. Much like a conquering army would come into a town and requisition, quote unquote, people's goods to feed their army. So in verse 15, he says, they, the former governors, they took from them. They took from the Jewish people bread and wine. Notice the operative word there is they took it. It wasn't given to them. In addition to that, he says, they taxed the people 40 shekels of silver, which was a lot of money in those days. And all of that was to take care of not the people, but the governors. And verse 15, he says, even their servants domineered the people. They're servants themselves, but they still dominated the Jewish people when they were on the staff of the governor. But here's the contrast. Nehemiah does not do that. He puts people first. Notice verse 15, he says, but I, notice the pronoun, I did not do so. Nehemiah put the people first as a servant leader. He had every right to all the perks of his permission, all the permission that was given to him to exploit the people, but he chose instead not to starve them, not to abuse them. Nehemiah took pity on the people. He put his people first. We see why he does with the next reason that a servant leader leads this way. In verse 15, the third way of a servant leader is that they pursue that which pleases God. As a servant leader, they pursue that which pleases God. Notice Nehemiah's compass in verse 15 was this. Verse 15, I did not exploit the people. I did not do so because of the fear of God. In other words, I reverence and respect God and I honor God. That's my guiding principle. I'm doing what pleases God, his standard, his desires. And because the Old Testament says you're not to exploit the people, he did not do so in order to follow the commands of God. Nehemiah had God's word. Nehemiah had the Holy Spirit working in him. Nehemiah was a servant leader to others as that example. He pursued loving the people. Now for us today, as Christians, we have an even greater example. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches us, he shows us, and he enables us to be servant leaders. Not only is he the greatest example of being a servant leader, but if you become a Christian and Christ lives in you, he empowers you, enables you, and helps you to be that kind of leader. Jesus dealt a lot with this idea of leadership and being servants as a leader. His own disciples had a real problem with this. They fought over power, position, and prestige. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33, we're told that when they were coming to Capernaum and they came into a house, he began to ask the disciples, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent. They wouldn't answer him. And here's why. Because on the way, they had discussed which one of them was not least, but the greatest. So Jesus sits them down. He calls them together and says, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Stop arguing about who's the greatest. Later on in the upper room, just before he's crucified, what are the disciples doing again? They are arguing over who is the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. The one who is the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and the leader like the servant." Then he goes on to say, "But I am among you as the one who serves." In Mark chapter 10 that we shared earlier, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." In the upper room, again, when the Lord's Supper was being held, who was it that grabbed the towel and the basin and washed the disciples' feet? It was not the disciples. It wasn't another servant. It was Jesus who washed their feet. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." The ultimate service to us was Jesus dying on the cross. So, beloved, Jesus is the servant leader we follow. He's the one we surrender to. He's the one we pursue that pleases that which pleases him. We're not in the business of promoting ourselves, but we're here to promote others. Somebody once asked, "How will you know that you're being a servant for Jesus? How will you know you're being a servant?" Howard Hendricks said, "You'll know you're a servant when people treat you like one." That's how you know. We're treated like those who are servants. And the servant leader is the one that pursues that which pleases our God and our Christ. The fourth way that a servant leader is to act is they participate with the people they lead. They actually participate with the people that they lead in life. Servant leader leads by example by serving alongside of the people. Notice verse 16. Nehemiah says, "I also applied myself to the work on the wall." The word "applied" there means to hold fast to or to join in. Nehemiah says, "I joined in the work. I grabbed a hold of the work and I participated in the building." In chapter 6, we'll see that Nehemiah is up working on the wall because he was not afraid to get his hands dirty. Some years ago, when I worked at Campus Crusade for Christ headquarters when it was in California at Arrowhead Springs, Dr. Bill Bright was somebody who lived on the grounds in one of the bungalows, the founder of it, and I was on the grounds crew there. And so I was working in his bungalow, and I parked my truck behind his car, and it died. It wouldn't start. And so Dr. Bright comes out in this wonderful three-piece suit looking really dandy as he comes out, and he says, "I got to move my car. Can you move your truck?" And I said, "Dr. Bright, I'm so sorry. It died, and it's stuck there. And I've radioed to help, but no one's come yet." He said, "Oh, okay, well, let's fix that." And he took off this beautiful coat, this beautiful vest, rolled up his sleeves, and he says, "Let's push it out of the way." Wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. A servant leader gets in the trenches with the troops so they know that they're not above the work or the worker. I read recently that the Chick-fil-A franchise requires all franchise owners to be present each day at work and work the counter or food preparation. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually the case or not, but it certainly reflects what the founder of Chick-fil-A thought. His name is Truett Cathy, and he was a fine Christian man. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But up until his death, every day, he showed up at one of his restaurants on a regular basis to model hands-on leadership. Nehemiah wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty with the people. He invested his resources. He had them join in the work. In verse 16, his servants also gathered to the work, because a servant leader is someone who participates with the people that they lead. The fifth way of a servant leader is this: it is one who practices serving yet with sacrifice. Practices service with sacrifice. A servant leader, well, serves others with generosity and hospitality. Again, in verse 17, he uses the word moreover, which is a conjunction of in addition, but it could also be by way of contrast. Remember, the other leaders exploited the people. They took advantage of them. They didn't help feed them. Nehemiah was generous. He came to the aid of his people. Look at verse 17. It says, "There were at my table 150 Jews and officials." He fed that many people. Now, we don't know if it was at one giant table or not. It could be a euphemism to say that's how many people I personally took care of. But the point is, I cared for people. Notice what was involved in verse 18. Every day, he says, "We prepared one ox, six choice sheep, birds, and once every 10 days, we gave all sorts of wine furnished in abundance." By the way, notice he did not serve beans and rice. He gave them the good stuff. Now, by way of contrast, if we read 1 Kings 4, King Solomon made provision every day for himself of 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed oxen, and 100 sheep beside deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fattened fowl. So he took care of a lot more stuff for himself. But Nehemiah said, "I did it for the serving of the people from my own resources. I sacrificed." A servant leader must be someone who sacrifices of their time, their treasure, and their talent. Going back to fast food again, I must be hungry this morning, but there's another fast food founder, the guy that founded Wendy's hamburger place. His name is Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas often said, "I got my MBA, which normally stands for Master of Business Administration degree. But he said, "No, my MBA was this, mop bucket attitude." He says, "I have a mop bucket attitude." And he taught his workers that service comes always before success. Nehemiah sacrificed. He did not have an attitude of entitlement. He was all about influence, not affluence. He was full of generosity and what we call hospitality. Interesting, the Greek word in the New Testament for hospitality literally means love of strangers, people outside, you know. The idea of hospitality is other-mindedness to meet someone's need, ready and willing to serve others. It's very interesting to me that one of the qualifications of an elder in a church in the New Testament and beyond, one of the qualifications listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1 is the qualification of being hospitable. Interesting. Again, a servant leader sacrifices for others. And finally, the way of a servant leader is that they place results in God's hands. They place results in God's hands. In verse 19, we see the servant leader who sees the ultimate reward for serving is not coming from people, but from God. It is not awards. It is not plaques. It is not accolades. It is not monuments. It is not your name on a building. It's not a speech made about you. Nehemiah realized that. And he says here at the end of verse 19, "Remember me, O God. Remember me." Actually, he says that several times throughout Nehemiah. In fact, the last verse of Nehemiah 13, 31, his last words are, "Remember me, O my God, for good." To remember means to call to mind or to take notice of. In light of what I've done, Lord, please notice this. But notice he's asking God to be the judge of what he's done as good. He doesn't want others to come along and say, "Oh, Nehemiah, you're the best. Take notice of what you've done." He says, "No, Lord, you take notice of me." In John 12, 26, we read earlier, Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Colossians 3, 24 says, "It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve." What we seek as influencers, what we seek as believers in Christ, the one thing we want to hear at the end of our lives must be what Jesus says in Matthew 25. "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Place the results in God's hands. Christian author and pastor John Maxwell once said, "People buy into the leader before they buy into the vision." Let me say that again. People buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. The people of Israel had to buy into Nehemiah first as a leader. To truly commit themselves to rebuilding and restoring the walls, they had to understand that he was their servant leader and that he was following the ways of a servant leader. A servant leader who pushed past position and power and privilege, who put others first, who pursued that which pleases God, who participated with the people he led, who practiced sacrifice, and who placed the results of leadership in God's hands. That is the way of the servant leader, Nehemiah. That is the way of Christ, our leader, to be his servant leaders. To be someone who shows up in a driving rainstorm in the middle of the night to visit a young man struck by lightning. A servant leader. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that our Lord Jesus modeled this for us. And Lord, I understand that all of us here today really influence others in every walk of life, from our jobs to our homes to our friendships. So Lord, I pray that in that influence, these principles would be part of what we do. We would follow in the steps of Christ, enabled by him to really serve others. To not just say it in name only, "I'm a servant," but to really be noticed for it. Lord, it's a humble job. It's something that doesn't get noticed, but it's our calling. So God, I pray that you would truly make us your servant leaders as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.